Muscle Podcast Midweek. The Midweek Muscle Podcast starts now.
Hey, good people, happy Wednesday. And surprise, it is a brand new season, first episode of a brand new season of the Midweek Muscle Podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am so excited to meet you here in this space because, a couple of weeks away does bring a little bit of fresh air, but more importantly, how much have I missed you all? I've been out here. I've been working on wellness and feeling better. I've been working on how can I feel inspired and motivated to bring you new content. But most importantly, and I've been in travel too. So, there's that. I have just been so taken aback at how the time gets filled so fast. And I'm just admired at the time that we've made space to connect with each other every single week. So I hope that you've not been missing it too bad, but that we're finding ways to connect via socials. And there may be a surprise for you even today, a little bit later on, if you're subscribed to YouTube. So check that out. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Still trying to figure some things out. But most importantly, y'all, it is a brand new season. Here we are, season 8, small doses. And let me just tell you a little bit. Let me just give you insight as to how I think this is going to go. So I stopped doing interviews a while back because they were very time consuming and my plate was growing so full that it was hard for me to manage interviews and have them fresh and ready on time and the marketing and the attentiveness and the sound editing and getting it ready for program and ready for launch. That was a major task and it took a lot of energy. Lord only knows how I did it during my master's program. I have no idea. But what I am here to share with you is that it is very time consuming and it has taken a lot of energy. So what I'm going to do, because I know that we're only meeting every few weeks now, is to work on getting additional perspective lined up for you because I'll be dropping those daily doses in the middle of our weekly touch base anyways, but through socials and not necessarily through a full-on episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work on bringing those interviews to you. I'm also going to work on providing content that helps drive you to the YouTube channel or the socials that are activated. And again, this is all in theory. So you're working this out with me. If it seems like, what are you going to do again? That's because it's not fully fleshed out in my mind of how we're going to pull this off. But that's exactly why this podcast was created, right? You may have an idea. You might be filled with something. You may be absolutely passionate about something and want to go and pursue it. But the issue is, where do I even start? And here's where the motivation and the encouragement comes in. You just have to start. People that need to be a part of the project will come. And as you get excited about it, you begin to talk about it. I've been invited to do a few more speaking things. And I've also been invited to participate in ways that I know that I enjoy and appreciate, but I also am trying to figure out what that looks like for us. So I've been inspired with content over these last couple of weeks, and I'm excited to bring it to you, but I'm also like, so how do we do that? And honestly, if I've learned nothing more from the places I've been and the places where I'll continue to go, is that you have to be okay with breaking it to learn it. I know some of you might be like the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up, but literally and truly, how do you learn to get good at something? You have to learn what doesn't work before you can fly with it. And God forbid you learned how it works before you've broken it. Because let me tell you, you don't want to be in the middle of something like way, way, way grand and extravagant and find out that there was a fracture early on that you never addressed. man, does that sink ships. So I want to, you're on this exploration with me of identifying if this small doses thing will work. Also, I don't desire to keep you for like, oh, we went 3 weeks without seeing each other, so let me slap you with another 60-minute episode. Oh, no, because I still protect and want to respect your time. The interviews are going to take that time, right? So why do we not just focus on and work on doing, you know, something different? You know, this will be different for me, and I'm sure it's different for you as you come to be a listener and in the community of the Midweek Muscle. So I appreciate all of what you've given, and I don't want that to go to waste. Next of what I was thinking here is, y'all, how many of y'all, wait a minute, let me pause. I'm getting ahead of myself. You ready for some For the Culture trivia? I haven't forgotten about it. Let's go ahead and lock in there, and then I'll get to what's next. How many cents are in a dime? Havana is the capital of what country? What is the fastest animal on land? What is 4 squared? What is the capital of Cuba? How many oceans are on Earth? And what is it called when a person has a fear of confined spaces? I was able to squeeze in one extra question. Well, actually, 2 extra questions on your butt. So here we go. I actually like that we were able to get some short, quick ones in. And consider yourselves like thinking, literally thinking quick, because some of these are very quick answers. So here we go. How many cents are in a dime? If your answer was 10, you'd be correct. Havana is the capital of what country? Cuba. What is the fastest animal on land? If you answered cheetah, you'd be correct. 4 squared is 16. Yes, math. Yes, math. Capital. Oh, I read it twice. If you didn't get it twice, then we're done. The capital of Cuba is Havana, right? So I did it backwards and forwards. So if you didn't get it before, you got it now. Then literally thinking quick. How many oceans are on Earth? The answer is 6. And what is a person who has a fear of confined spaces? Claustrophobic. Or the fear is claustrophobia. All right, good people, there we have it. And here we go. Small doses. Maybe trivia needs to be small doses too. Great job. All right, so now on to the content for today, which again isn't going to be much. And I want to just, who didn't tell me that the Olympics was coming this year? I'm so excited. Now, I probably have shared a little glimmer about how excited I'd be. And I just, I don't know, with the coming and going of things and these years flying by, like, you know, a trip to the restroom, I completely knocked my head that the Olympics, y'all, in a couple of months, we're going to be watching the Summer Olympics again. I am like amped. I love the Summer Olympics. If there's one thing that 2020 brought me better, like a better result of, is getting the Summer Olympics in 2022 and another one in 2024. I am so excited. And y'all know, I think it's just the spirit of the games. I'm a former athlete. I still train my body, not as intensely as I was before, but I still train my body pretty regularly. I'm actually sitting here sore right now from a fantastic workout by OTB. And I've been visiting this new place, the Cake Factory. If you're in the Cincinnati area and you know where that is, shout out to all the wonderful trainers in their spaces who do magnificent work on our bodies and keep us motivated to do so. So I'm sitting here real like sore, but I'm an athlete. Like I am hardwired in my athleticism and my competitive nature. And I just can't shake it. So the spirit of the games, I don't care what sport it is, it needs to be on in the background while I'm doing my work. I love the games. I love watching people get that split second win. I love it. I love it. It fuels my dopamine to no comparison. So I'm excited for the games. I hope you are too, because it will be a really fun and cool summer. Speaking of the games, the past couple of weeks that we've not been together, there's so much has happened. Speaking of the news, if you watched it, or Baltimore, the barge, there was a boat that hit the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and it completely collapsed. It's just an eerie sight for eyes that a bridge could have that such frailty that it just completely, I mean, let's be real, that barge was heavy. So it's not like it was just like, oh, tra-la-la, just one hit and it fell. No, that was a massive boat. And that, I guess that pathway is now blocked and is crippling the e-commerce, because they're working on the cleanup efforts. So nothing can get in, nothing can get out. And that is probably going to paralyze their economies for what that experience was like. So yeah, that was just an eerie sight for eyes. You know, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, you know, it's almost like, oh God, brace yourselves. I feel like I grew up with that always being conflict and over differing agendas. We've got spring breaks and a lot of the trips are happening. Of course, you don't have to worry about me. I didn't go on a spring break, although I would have really appreciated that right about now. Easter just passed. If you're celebrating Easter, I know folks are in Ramadan. We, you know, all of those many spiritual and religious celebrations are happening. And just thinking about what that is doing for the cleansing of folks' perspective on how they're approaching life and what they get to revisit or redo. And then, yeah, also have March Madness. Again, I started off with the Olympics and I'm sandwiching it with March Madness. Not intended, but that's just where my mind is. Have you been watching the women's games? Thank God it's finally starting to get momentum in the way that it deserves for so many years. You know, regardless of how you feel about it, Caitlin Clark, love her, don't like her, whatever. She's been doing great things for the spirit of the games. And, you know, a lot of women before her have been pioneers for getting women's programs on the map. And I'm just excited that if it took a Caitlin Clark to be the show person for it, then I guess, you know, I'm not faulting her or anything of what she's contributed to the games. I know a host of women that love the sport, and it just, for whatever reason, it kind of got a little bit of airtime here, a little bit over here, a little bit over here. But I'm happy to hear of the constant rotation that women's games are going to get. But you know, in true fairness too, men's games have been fun to watch as well. My favorite game of this whole entire March Madness season thus far was men's Grand Canyon versus Alabama. That game had me stunned. If you have the ability to rewatch that game or watch it, you will see why. I mean, I didn't even, Grand Canyon University, okay. No one I've heard of, you know. Alabama, you kind of know them for their programs. They just kind of got the it factor. Is it that they get the money to recruit? They're going to recruit the best type of teams. But when I tell you they got to run for their money and some, you better believe it. They sure did. And that was just an awesome game. So if you did a bracket, How is it? Is it busted now? I never ask people because people first round are like, oh, my bracket's busted. Like if you had Duke going, just kidding, right? Or if you had one of your top teams, they're thinking that UConn is going to swing both men's and women's. That's a good prediction that's out there. Folks are real diehards around Purdue. I don't know what's happening with that the one of their big men. There's been some viral stuff going on about what's happening after the game. So, you know, I'm just saying. Good people, let's go ahead and get into the content so I can send you on your way because we've been talking a whole lot of fluff and sometimes you just need to sit back and kick it. Like, that's a question for you. When's the last time you just sat back with no agenda and just was present to be joyful or experience fun? When was the last time? If it was a last weekend or something like that, great for you. But when's the last time where you said, nothing needs my time and attention right now. I'm just going to go with the flow. Let me tell you, I've been practicing in that a little bit more frequently here lately, and it has been a blessing to my whole life. So what I'm leaving you with is simply this. If you have the opportunity to make time and space, and I know it doesn't happen too often, but if it can, allow it to be there because that's where genuine creativity is derived from making space. And so for that, I just want to share very quickly with you that hope is not lost. I've just come out of celebrating Easter, good people, and I told you when things get particularly rough for me, I tend to lean in on faith. And one of the things that helped me in my stewardship towards my faith is getting still and understanding that whatever the struggle is that I am going through, that my steps have already been ordered. And so there's no sense for me to get worked up when there's already a way through. I just don't know what it is yet. And so in that season, of going through difficult times, it can feel like hope is lost. And so I think that's where I want to leave this experience is that hope is not lost, good people. If I told you that when you think of the two words, fear and courage, they are on opposite ends of a continuum. And I'm here to tell you that if fear was a master or courage was a master, that you cannot serve them both. You cannot serve the master of fear and you cannot serve the master of courage at the same time. You can try to, at some moments I'll operate in fear and some moments I'll operate in courage. Like if I just pause the sentence there, how does that sound to you? Rough, right? You can try to serve them both, but I tell you, it will leave you in but they will leave you in internal conflict. To serve one is to displease the other. And they both want desperately to have at your decision-making, your mobility, and your upward bound way of going about life. You know, I've run into so many people that have shared things like, but I'm scared. I'm too scared to do this. What if it doesn't work? Fear wants you to stay put. It's how you stay safe. It is what's kept us alive. But the issue with fear is that it doesn't know physical fear from emotional fear. All it knows is it's activated. And when it's activated, it wants you to stay safe. The issue, though, is with fear is you can end up staying safe or staying away from something that's really good for you, that activates you in a way that nothing else could. I'm not saying quit this, and just go full-fledged, go all in on the thing that you're scared of. No, you have to approach it tactfully in a way that works for you and the people you love around you and your household and your responsibilities and your chores and all of the things. However, to stay away from it out of fear is to neglect that better part of yourself that wants to go, that is curious about it, that wants to explore it, that wants to know it better. So you'll always be at internal conflict. But to only serve courage, to only serve courage would be, it could be advantageous for that passionate side of you. It could be advantageous for that curious side of you. You just have to know at what doses to interject courage. Not everything needs courage, but courage should exist so that you can just be present. So that you can just be exploratory, so that you can just sit and be inspired by those who have been placed in front of you or who you choose to be around, right? Again, fear is good when it's a means to keep us safe, but fear to immobilize, that's the work of the enemy. And so again, I just ask you to think about moments where you are placed in a position where you have to make a choice. What do you do? Muscle memory kicks in. That's what you do. If running and hiding is the thing that you do when you're scared, guess what you're going to do? Run and hide. If creating conflict is the thing that you do when you're scared, guess what? That's what you're going to do. So the thing that you practice becomes the thing that you do. So when it comes down to choosing hope, it means you have to let go of fear. You cannot serve fear and courage at the same time. In order to drop fear, you must operate in courage. And in order to stay hopeful, you have to know that you may not know all of the answers to it or through it, but just that there is a way. And good people, I hope that is helpful for you this week. Keep sticking in there with me as I flesh this out for what small doses is or could look like for all of us, because I'm very, very hopeful at what it can bring us in this new season. I'm ready to explore and break things. Y'all have to be with me to leave comments if it's not working. I really want to know if it's not working, or if it is, tell me where, guide my steps. I want us to be interactive in a way that maybe I've not even tried before. And because of that, I am willing to leave that here. This is our thing. This is what we can do. We can do this together. So good people, I leave this with you. Hope is not lost. And I appreciate you for being here with me as we explore what a new season of discovery can be together. I love you and I thank you. And, keep believing that little elements of hope are available to you. Just got to reach out and grasp it. But it does take courage. Good people, I love you. If you haven't heard it already, I miss you. I miss not doing the weekly touch bases, but we're going to find our way. And I love you so much for allowing me the space to do so. I hope you have a great week. I hope you appreciate and embrace that perspective this week. And as always, let's go.